the sermon. Lord, I ask that you would please help me. Father, that you would, your Holy Spirit would come upon me. Lord, that I would be filled with the Spirit of this, at this time, Lord, that I might be able to do something that is humanly impossible, and that is minister to your people through the Word. I can't do it. I need your help. Father, I pray you'd help me to just get out of the way. Allow me to be a vessel used of your Spirit, Lord, to be able to speak to me and to everyone here, that we might learn from what we're looking at this morning, that we might be challenged, Lord, and that we might leave here different than when we came in. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're there in Isaiah chapter 14. And as we talked about in the announcements, we're continuing through our spiritual warfare series. And we're dealing with the subject of Satan this morning. And next week, we'll be preaching a sermon on the subject of spiritual weapons. And then we'll be done with the series. We'll move on to other things. We won't be done with preaching the Bible, but we'll be done with the series for now. And we'll continue preaching more Bible after that, of course. But as we deal with the subject of Satan, I want to start off with the disclaimer that, of course, there is no possible way that in one sermon I could preach everything the Bible has to say about Satan. I mean, you could preach a whole series on the subject of Satan. I don't know that we'd want to do that. But, I mean, there's a lot of Bible in regards to the devil and Satan. And there's no way that we can cover everything, but we'll do our best. We'll cover everything we can. And I want to begin, if you look at verse number, you're there in Isaiah 14. Obviously, there's a very famous part there that deals with Lucifer. But if you look down to verse number, let's see, where was it? Look at verse number 29. Verse 29, the Bible says, "Rejoice not thou, O Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root." Do you see that? The serpent's root. Now, throughout the Bible, often Satan is illustrated, or not illustrated, but he actually physically is a serpent. Other times, he's a dragon. Remember the Garden of Eden? Satan appeared to Eve in the way of a serpent. But I like that phrase there, because it says the serpent's root. Now, I understand that that's not necessarily talking about Satan, but you got to understand this, and this is point number one. If you're taking notes, and I would challenge you, or I would encourage you to take notes while the preaching is being done, so you can have something to reference back to, so take notes in your Bible or different piece of paper. If you're taking notes, so point number one, I want to talk about the root of Satan. The root of Satan, his origin, where he came from. In Isaiah 14, we see his origin in heaven. If you look at Isaiah 14, look at verse number 12, very well-known passages. Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Now, you got to understand this. Lucifer was the name of Satan when he was an angel. I don't have time to cover it. We'll look at it a little bit in Ezekiel. But Satan was an angel. And when he was an angel, his name was Lucifer. Lucifer is not necessarily a bad name. That was the name that God gave him. When Satan fell, when Lucifer fell, he then took on the names of Satan, or the devil, or the dragon, or that old serpent. But here we see, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" So we see that he has had a fall, or he's gone into sin, the Bible tells us. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weakens the nation?" Now, you got to understand this, okay? The fall of Satan, and we talked about this on Wednesday night, and on Wednesday night I'm preaching through the book of Hosea. It's what Hosea happened to deal with, and I didn't plan it that way. You know, I'm not smart enough to plan those types of things out. The Holy Spirit works those things out. But on Wednesday night, we preach a whole sermon on the subject of pride. And the downfall of every human being and the downfall of Satan was this one word, pride. Notice what it says, verse 13. "For thou hast said in thine heart." Notice what he said in his heart. If you're taking notes, if you don't mind writing in your Bible, I'd circle this word, "I." I want you to notice how many times he says this. He says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." This is Lucifer speaking. He says, "I will ascend into heaven." I circle this, "I." "I will exalt thy throne above the stars of God." You see that? He said, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. If you remember a few weeks ago, maybe a month or a month and a half ago, when we were in Judges chapter 5, we're studying through the book of Judges on Sunday nights. Remember we're in Judges chapter 5, and we had the prophecy of Deborah, and it was a song of Deborah, but it was a prophetic song about end time. Remember she talked about the stars and their courses fought? And we studied that out, and the stars represent what? The angels. And here he says, verse 13, For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Notice verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Do you see that? You see how many times, in just a few, in two verses, how often Lucifer says this word, I. You got to be careful. You got to watch how much you say the word I. Because whenever you say the word I, guess who you're talking about? Yourself. And he said, I will be like the Most High. Now you got to understand this. Satan's downfall, now you got to, and you got to catch this. It's not that he wanted to be God. He wanted to be, notice the last phrase in verse 14, I will be like, do you see that word like? I will be like the Most High. Satan did not necessarily want to take the place of God. I know some people teach that. He's fighting against God. He wants to be God. He wants to take the place of God. I don't necessarily believe he wants to take the place of God. He just wants to also be a God. And Satan's religion has always been that of being a God. What did he tempt Adam and Eve with? Remember? What did he say? He said, if you eat of the fruit, you shall be like God. That's what he's always been preaching. That's what he's always been about. Being like God. And by the way, there are religions today. The Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, I don't know if you know this, but they teach that if you are a good Mormon, you will one day become a God. Did you know that? That's what they teach. They don't believe that there is one God. They believe there are thousands of God. Jesus Christ is just one of those thousands of God. And here's what they teach. Jesus was a man. He lived a good life. And he got promoted to the position of Godhood. And that you and I, if we would become Mormons and live a good Mormon life, we could become God. Hey, I'm here to tell you, that is a satanic doctrine.
Amen.
Where does this idea come that you and I could be like God? I'll tell you exactly where it comes from. Satan. He wanted to be like God. He told Eve, you could be like a God. You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will be like God. Hey, that is a satanic, what we saw last week, remember? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Don't just think, well, someone's religious, so they must be good. And I'm not saying that an individual who's a Mormon is a satanic person. They may be led astray. They maybe got born in that religion. But let me tell you something. Those doctrines, you will never be like God. I will never be like God. There is one God, and His name is Jehovah God.
Amen.
We'll never be like Him. Satan's downfall was his pride. Satan's downfall was the fact that he wanted to be like God. You're there in Isaiah. Go to the book of Ezekiel. Just a couple books over. You got the book of Jeremiah. Then you got the small book of Lamentation. Then you got the book of Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. We're going to look at a lot of Bible this morning, so you gotta get with it, okay? And we'll try to get out of here as soon as we can. Ezekiel 28. I'm showing you his origins. We saw in Isaiah his origin in heaven. I'd like you to see his origin in the garden, Ezekiel 28. Now, I don't have time to go through and explain everything about Ezekiel 28. You got to understand this. Ezekiel 28 is about a human being, okay? At the beginning of the passage, it's talking about a human being. But this human, this person, has pride issues, pride attributes, and they kind of remind God about this other guy that used to have pride issues, named Lucifer. And in the middle of the passage, God begins to prophesy or speak, not about this human being, but he's talking about Satan himself, but he's using the analogy or he's calling him the name of this person. Just so you understand, look at Ezekiel 28, are you there? Look at verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. Do you see that? So he's talking to a prince. He's talking to an individual, prince of Tyrus. Say, what do you want me to say to him, God? Thus saith the Lord God. Notice what he says. Because thine heart is lifted up. Does that sound familiar? And thou hast said, what did he say? I am God. It's not a new religion. It's been around for a long time. Do you see the correlation? He said, your heart is lifted up. Thou hast said, I am God. I sit in the east of God, in the seat of God, in the midst of the seats. Yet thou art a man and not God. That's how God thinks about you and me. When the Mormons say, you can be a god. God's quoting Ezekiel 28, 1 and 2. Thou art a man and not God. He says, thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. He said, you can try to be like God all you want. You'll never be like God. You are a man and not God. Period. Now he's talking about a person here. But it reminds him about this. Skip down. We won't take the time to go through it. You can study it out on your own. Skip down to verse number 13. He transitions into speaking about Satan. You say, how do we know he's talking about Satan? Look at verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. So we know that the Prince of Tyre hasn't been in Eden. There's only three people, well, God, obviously, including God. Other than God, there's three people that the Bible tells us were in the Garden of Eden. Adam, Eve, and the serpent. So who is he talking about when he says, thou hast been in Eden? He's talking about the serpent. He's talking about Satan. He says, thou hast been in Eden, the Garden of God. Now I want you to notice this. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and gold. Now, I want you to see this. Don't miss this, okay? And I don't have time to develop this like I'd like to, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Notice what it says. We're talking about Satan, right? He's in the garden. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared. Now, what does that sound like to you? Tabrets, pipes? Sounds like he's talking about an organ. Sounds like he's talking about a musical instrument, right? Notice what it says. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. You got to understand this. The Bible tells us that when God created Lucifer, in his body, he created him physically like an instrument. Did you catch that? The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee. The pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Look at verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub. You see there? God just called him a cherub. Remember the sermon on angels? What's a cherub? It's an angel. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountains of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. God said, I created you perfect, but you chose to sin. He said, iniquity was found in thee. By the multitudes of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. You see that? Talking about Lucifer, the anointed cherub. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. Another reference to him being a cherub. From the midst of the stones of fire. Look at verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Now remember that, okay? The Bible says that this anointed cherub is a very beautiful cherub. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now I want you, and I don't have time to develop it, but just keep this in mind, alright? Satan is a musical, his body is a musical instrument. You better be careful. You better be wary. You better be alert when go to Matthew real quickly. Matthew, when you start being tempted with this world's music, people think, music is amoral. God doesn't care what kind of music we listen to. What if the music came out of the body of Satan? You think God would care about that?
Good.
Well, I don't think, you know, you guys have that old-fashioned music and this and that. There's a reason why we don't have a rock band up here. There's a reason why we don't have Christian rap up here. You say, why? You study that music. You go back to the roots of that music. And you'll find that it always goes back to a demonic influence.
Amen.
A satanic influence. You better understand this. Satan knows more about music than you do.
Right.
Satan knows how to lure with music more than you do. Than you understand. You just better be careful with that. I'm not preaching on music. I'm not afraid to. I will when I think. I don't have time to develop it now. Just something to think about. We'll talk about it more later on. Go to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. So here's what you got to understand. We said number 1, the roots of Satan. What are the roots of Satan? Pride. Saw him in heaven. We saw him in Eden. Number 2, I want you to see the roots of Satan have to do with the origin of Satan. Number 2, I want you to see the roles of Satan. And this is where we're going to spend most of the sermon. The roles of Satan, or his operation. What is he doing right now? The Bible tells us he goes throughout the earth, to and fro, throughout the lands. What is he doing? Are you there in Matthew chapter 4? Look at verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be, notice this word, tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the, I want you to notice this, tempter, you see that's a title. Who are we talking about? The devil. It says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, I'm not going to go through it. You see, there's Satan tempting Jesus. They go through different temptations. But I want you to understand this. The Bible, you say, what are the roles of Satan? What is he doing today? The Bible calls him the tempter. You know what he's doing? He's tempting. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Is it warm in here? I'm warm, but I'm always warm. If you're warm, raise your hand. Okay. If you're cold, raise your hand. If you're lukewarm, raise your hand. Get right with God. No, okay, if you're comfortable, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, look at verse 5. I'm lukewarm. This sermon's for you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, look at verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I don't want to delve into this passage too much for the sake of the children, but I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. The Bible says, defraud ye not one another. Now he's talking about the relationship between a husband and wife. He says, don't defraud your wife. Don't defraud your husband. Say, what are you talking about? Stealing their identity? No, that's not it. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent. So he said, don't defraud yourselves unless you agree. That's what the word consent means. For a time that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Now what is fasting? Fasting is when you, do away with your physical needs of food so that you can give yourself to prayer to God. And what the Bible is teaching here, that when you're married and you are fasting, you should not just put away the physical needs of food, but of course, there's also a physical need that a husband and wife may have or fulfill for each other. A physical need, do you understand what I'm saying? I don't have to get more descriptive than that. And God says when you're fasting, you should not be fulfilling that need because that goes against the whole purpose of fasting, which is just cleansing yourself and giving yourself a time for God. But you can understand this, okay? Look at verse 5. He says, normally don't do that. He says, defraud ye not one another. He said, don't defraud. You know, you're not. Today, there's this big, big thing with in our society today where husbands and wives will like punish each other by like withholding themselves from each other. Bible says that is a sin. Bible says that is wicked. Bible says that is defrauding your spouse. He says, defraud ye not one another. He says, the only time you say, you know, I'm not going to, you know, it better not be because you're fighting about something else. If you say to your wife or you say to your husband, we're not going to do that, you better be fasting. That's what the Bible says. Better not be. I'm going to punish him. He's going to see. Took my credit card away. Maybe you needed your credit card away. Look at verse 5. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Now notice this. And come together again. Why? Why is it important for a husband and wife to have a physical relationship? Why? Look what it says. That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. You better understand that. I'm going to show her. We're going to go a year and a half without you. You're opening yourself up for a temptation of Satan. That's all I'm saying. Is that what the Bible says? Amen. He is a tempter. Not only is he the tempter, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, look at verse number 3. He is a tempter. Not only is he a tempter, he's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, look at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, the Bible says, but I fear. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent, who is that? Satan. As the serpent beguiled Eve. What does the word beguiled mean? It means to deceive. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. You got to understand this. Satan is the tempter, but Satan is also the deceiver. He's a beguiler. He will deceive you or trick you. Now keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians, because we're coming right back to it. But go a couple books over to the right, to the book of Ephesians. You got 2 Corinthians, Galatians, then you got the book of Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 11. This is the verse we had in the bulletin. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. You see that word wiles there? The wiles of the devil. What does the word wiles mean? It means a trick intended to trap. Remember when you were a kid and you watched Wile E. Coyote? What was he trying to do? He was doing a whole lot of tricks. Why? To catch a certain roadrunner? You don't understand? You know what I'm talking about? The word wiles or wily is talking about setting a trap or a trick to deceive you. You remember what Wile E. Coyote go up to a brick wall and he'd make it look like it was a tunnel? He's trying to trick Roadrunner? I don't even watch TV. That's from a long time ago. But the word wiles means a trick or intended. You understand? The Bible, look at Ephesians 6:11. See, so you guys, people come up to me. You are way too serious when you preach. And then I try to joke with you about some cartoon and I get no feedback. You know what I mean? Let's get back to the Bible then. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because he's going to try to trick you. He's going to try to trap you. He's the deceiver. Go to Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation should be fairly easy to find. Last book in the New Testament. Revelation chapter number 12. Look at verse number 9. Revelation chapter number 12. Look at verse 9. Revelation 12:9. The Bible says, Revelation 12:9. I like Revelation 12:9 because God gives us all the names of Satan. He wants to make sure you know who he's talking about. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. He wants to make sure you know. Notice what he does. Which deceiveth, you see that? Which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Go to Revelation chapter number 20, look at verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Revelation 20:10. So we're looking at a lot of Bible this morning. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Most churches have an hour of singing and 20 minutes of preaching. We do the same. We're like other churches. We just get it mixed up sometimes. We do 20 minutes of singing and an hour of preaching. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 10. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them. Do you see that? The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We're going to come back to this verse towards the end of the sermon, okay? You want to put a bulletin there or a ribbon there or something? Keep that there, and when we get back there later on, you'll know we're almost done, okay? But I want you to see this. He is a tempter, he's a deceiver, he's a trickster. Now, keep your finger, go back to, keep your finger there in Revelation. We're going to come back to it. When we come back to Revelation 20:10, we're almost done. If we go back to Revelation, that doesn't mean we're done. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Some of you are going to complain or something. Go to 2 Corinthians. Did you keep your finger in 2 Corinthians? See what I do? I'm trying to help you out and it doesn't work out. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11:14. I want you to see this. He's a deceiver. He's a trickster. He wants to deceive you. Remember in Ezekiel? His heart was lifted up. Why? Because of his what? Beauty? You remember that? That's why you got to take notes. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, look what it says. And no marvel, 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed, now notice what it says, into an angel of light. By the way, that's what Lucifer means. Light. He says he's transformed. See, you talk to our world, you talk to our society, you watch those ungodly Looney Tunes, and you watch them, remember when you watched Looney Tunes, Porky the Pig? You dress up like Satan? Yeah. See, the world, how does the world want you to picture Satan? Mean, angry, he's got horns, he's got a tail, he's got a red cape, he's got a pitchfork, he's mad, he's got fire. The Bible says that's not what Satan looks like. Look at what it says, verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You gotta understand this. If Satan showed up to you looking like this beast, you'd probably run away. When Satan shows up, he looks good. He looks clean. He looks beautiful. He's transformed as an angel of light. Why? Because he's a deceiver. Because he's trying to trick you. He'll make that beer bottle look good. He'll make those drugs and alcohol look good. He'll make that adultery. Oh, no one will ever find out. He's deceiving you. I'm telling you right now, he's a deceiver. He's transformed into an angel of light. The Bible says, you don't have to turn there, but John chapter 8 says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of himself, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is a liar, the Bible says. He is a deceiver, the Bible says. Go back to Revelation chapter 12. I didn't say 20. Alright? Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 10. Revelation chapter 12. I want you to see this. Revelation chapter 12. He's a tempter. He's a deceiver. What else? What other roles does Satan play? He's a tempter. He's a deceiver. Letter C there. He's the accuser. The accuser. Are you there in Revelation chapter 12? Look at verse 10. Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 10. Revelation 12:10. The Bible says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the, notice this, the accuser of our brethren." You see that? "Is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night." The Bible says that Satan is before God day and night, and he's accusing. Who's he accusing?
The brethren.
He is the accuser of the brethren. Go to Job. Job in the Old Testament. If you can find the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is right in the center of the Bible. You open up your Bible right in the middle, more than likely you'll find the book of Psalms. Right before Psalm, you got the book of Job. Go to Job chapter number 1. Job's a very well-known story in the Bible. Job chapter number 1. Look at verse number 6. Job chapter number 1 and verse 6. Job 1:6. The Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and," notice who comes with them, "Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan," notice what God says to Satan, "whence comest thou?" That word "whence" means, where are you coming from? "Then Satan answered the Lord and said," notice what Satan says, "from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it." See, most people, you ask most people, where's Satan? They're going to say in hell. Satan's not in hell. Now, he will be in hell one day, and we'll talk about that. But he is not in hell today. Today, he is walking about to and fro in the earth, from up and down on the earth, walking through the earth. He's busy. He's working. And he shows up to heaven with God. Notice the conversation, verse 8. "And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Would to God that God could speak to Satan about you and I that way. He says, "Have you considered Job?" Now notice what Satan says, verse 9. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said," notice what Satan says, "doth Job fear God for naught?" He says, "Is Job fearing you for it?" That word "not" means nothing. He said, "Does he serve you for nothing?" Look at verse 10. "Has not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Here's what Satan's saying. Satan's saying, the only reason Job serves you is you bless him. Only reason Job serves you is because you got a hedge about him. Because you bless his family and you bless his finances. You've taken care of him. Now notice the accusation. Verse 11. "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath." Notice what Satan says. "And he will curse thee to thy face." Now is that true? That's not what happened. He's giving an assumption. But he's also accusing Job. He's saying, "Job's gonna, you take away his family, you take away his riches, you take away his health, he's gonna accuse you to your face." Notice he does it twice. Go to Job chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still, because notice, Satan already attacked him at the end of chapter 1, and God says, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. Verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath he will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and notice the accusation, he will curse thee to thy face. Now, is that what Job did? No. But that's what he's getting accused of. You got to understand this. Satan is the tempter. Satan is the deceiver. Satan is the accuser. Go to 1 Timothy. Towards the end of your New Testament there, you find those T books. You got 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and the book of Titus. So find a book that starts with T and you'll be closed. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. We're doing good. 1 Timothy 3, 7. 1 Timothy 3, 7. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 7. I want you to see it. 1 Timothy 3, 7. The Bible says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and, notice this phrase, the snare of the devil. Do you see that? The word snare means a trap. A snare is a trap that they would use to catch birds. And the Bible says that you can fall into the snare or the trap of the devil. Go to, where do I want you? 2 Timothy. You're there in 1 Timothy? Go over a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at verse 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. 2 Timothy 2:26, the Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare. Do you see that? Out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So the devil will set a snare. He's wily. He wants to catch you. He wants to trap you. You got to understand this. You got to understand how Satan works. Here's what he does. He tempts you with sin. Then he deceives you into thinking it's not that bad. And then when you fall in sin, he goes to God and says, see, look what he did. He's the accuser. He tempts you with sin, then deceives you into sin, and when you fall into sin, then he turns around and says, see, he didn't really love you. That's the trap of the devil. That's the snare of the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. You got to understand this. You start feeling like, you start thinking about, oh, I just think about all the stuff that I've done in my past, and I think about all those things that have happened in my past. And you, listen to me. You start getting accused of your past, just realize, that's an attack of the devil.
Amen.
That's what he does. He's the accuser of the brethren. Go to Philippians real quickly. Philippians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. You say, Pastor, you know, I've been doing good and I got saved and I've been following God and I've been growing and I've been going to church now for 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 or 30 or 50 years. And but you don't understand. I'm feeling like, man, I'm just feeling so guilty about my past. The accuser of the brethren is Satan. His trap is to get you to feel worthless. His trap is to get you to think about your past. That's why Paul said, are you there in Philippians chapter 3? I want you to see these verses, one-on verses. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Say, how do you know that Paul was a Baptist preacher? Here's how you know he's a Baptist preacher. He said, this one thing I do, and then he gives you a list of three things he does. So when I say, hey, we're going to look at one more reference, and then we look at three more, I'm just going to be like Paul. You know what I mean? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. You've got to forget about the past. Forget about those things and just realize, you say, I'm getting accused. That's the devil. I'm starting to feel bad. You're falling into a trap is what you're doing. I got tempted and I got deceived and I got confused and now I feel so guilty. Just confess your sins to God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Amen. Praise God.
You just got to remember, just got to realize, He's the accuser. Go to 2 Corinthians. Go back to 2 Corinthians. We've been there for a little bit, so you should be able to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, you got to understand this. What are the roles of Satan? Not only is he a tempter, not only is he a deceiver, not only is he the accuser, he's also, you got to understand this, okay? Satan rules this world. Do you realize that? Say, God rules the world. No, Satan rules the world right now. Now, he rules the world because God allows him to. And one day, God's going to come back and take that rule from him. But right now, the Bible is very clear the fact that Satan is running this world. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the... What's that next word? God. You see that? Now, is that a lowercase g or an uppercase g? So we know that's not God, the true God. Because he's always uppercase, right? In whom the lowercase g, the small god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of capital G God, do you see that? Should shine unto them. Let me tell you something. There is a lowercase g God of this world. Who is that? It's Satan. Go to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John, chapter number 12. John, the fourth gospel in the New Testament. John, chapter number 12. We're doing good on time, okay? We're doing it. We're exactly where we need to be. Been preaching for 35 minutes. We're about halfway through, but you got to keep up, okay? John, chapter number 12, verse number 31. What I'm trying to say, if we get out of here late, it's your fault, not mine. Okay? John, chapter 12. You have no one to blame but yourself. I'm accusing you right now. John, chapter 12. Look at verse 31. John, chapter 12, verse 31. John, chapter number 12, and verse number 31. I want you to see this. The Bible says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Who's the prince of this world? Now, that's not Jesus, because Jesus didn't get cast out. Jesus is the prince of peace. But there's another prince that is referred to there as the prince of this world. 2 Corinthians called him the god of this world. Go to John chapter 14. Look at verse 30. John chapter 14, verse number 30. John 14, verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. Why? For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. That's Jesus speaking. He says, the prince of this world, he's got nothing with me. He's not with me. Go to John chapter 16. Look at verse 11. In John chapter 16 and verse number 11. The Bible here is talking to us about the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Comforter. And in verse 11 he says, he tells us that he's going to reprove the world. He tells us of sin, of righteousness. And in verse 11 he says, of judgment. Why? Because the prince of this world is judged. Go to Luke chapter number 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke is right before the book of John. Go to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. Remember when we started talking about this in Matthew, but remember when Jesus was tempted of the devil? Remember when he was tempted of him there while he was fasting? Luke chapter number 4. Look at verse number 6. Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. Luke 4, 6, the Bible says, notice what it says. And the devil said unto him, because remember, the devil is, well, just so you get the context, look at verse number 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now that's a miracle. And I shouldn't use that word. That's not a miracle because Satan did it. But you got to understand this. Satan has power. You understand what that verse says? He went up to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He said, here, let me show you all the kingdoms of the world. Now look at verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for... Now here's God, the devil just offered Jesus all the power and all the glory of the world. You understand that? Now notice what he says. Look at that middle part of verse 6. For, you see the word for there? Word for means because. because that is delivered unto me. Did you catch that? Yeah. Satan says, I can give you the whole world because it's been delivered to me. See, Satan says, I run this world, Jesus. I'm the prince of this world, Jesus. I'm the God. Now, lowercase g God. He's a little God. I'm the God of this world. He said, I will give all the glory, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. He says, I give my world. I give my power. I give my glory to whoever I will. You got to understand this. If anyone's ever really popular in the world, he's probably in good with Satan, because he's the one that runs this world.
That's right.
See, Pastor Jimenez, do you ever want to be one of those preachers like Billy Graham or Joel Osteen, where they're just so loved by the world? Listen, if you're loved by the world, you're loved by Satan.
Right.
You can't be loved by this world and not be loved by Satan, because he's the one that rules this world. He's the one that offers this world. You got to think about those things. The Bible, it's funny how the world hated Jesus. Was Jesus the most popular preacher on... Let's see, how did he end his ministry? Oh, that's right, they crucified him. He wasn't really, you know, packing out Arco Arena with 10,000, you know, people paying to come here and preach. Now, he had crowds, we understand that. But whenever you preach the Bible, and whenever you preach the Word of God, and whenever you're actually preaching the biblical doctrines from the Bible, you got to understand this. The world's not going to like it.
That's right.
Why? Because the devil don't like it. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at verse 2. I want you to think about this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Remember, we saw he was the prince of this world. We saw that multiple times in John. Look at what Ephesians 2 calls him. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 2. The Bible says, wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince. Do you see that? Now, I want you to see this. To the prince of the power. Now, notice this prepositional phrase. Of the air. Do you see that? The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Bible not only tells us he's the God of this world. Bible not only tells us he's the prince of this world. The Bible tells us he's the prince of the power of the air. Say, what does that mean? Well, you ever heard of these things called air waves? Say, you're taking it a little too far. You ever turn on your radio and, man, I really like that music. I know it's talking about drinking. I know it's talking about adultery. I know it's talking about everything that blasphemes God. But man, I sure like that music. You don't think that's coming from Satan? Oh, did you miss in Ezekiel when his body is a musical instrument? Did you miss in Ephesians when he says he's the prince of the power of the world? I'm just trying to tell you. You turn on your television, you say, why do you call that a television? Because Satan's in charge of it. Because Satan, he's the prince of the power of the airways of this world. He rules this world. He's in charge of this world. He's the one that programs. I'm just trying to tell you, we are under demonic or satanic influences.
That's right.
Better open up your eyes. Pastor Jimenez, you're kind of over the top. No, I just read my Bible. If you'd read your Bible, you would realize that Satan runs this world. Said, no, President Obama runs America. No, Satan runs America.
Right. Amen.
It's not the rulers. It's not the people. They may be influenced. They may be possessed. They may be whatever. But there's one guy that's running the show right now, and it's Satan. And you better just open up your eyes to it. He is the ruler of this world. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Remember we're in Timothy? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We said he is the tempter. We said he is the deceiver. We said he is the accuser. We said he is the ruler of this world. I want you to see this. He's also the hinderer. He's also the hinderer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. The Bible says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. Paul said, I was trying to come to you. I was trying to get there. But here was the problem. Look at the last part of verse 18. But Satan hindered us. You see that? Let me tell you something. You start coming to Verity Baptist Church and you start, you know, trying to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You start trying to heal some marriages and help some people in oppression and help some people with their habits and help some people get right with God, and you start doing what we're doing. You better realize there's going to be a devil who's going to be hindering. I thought it was funny. My dad said to me, "It's funny how you start preaching about the devil and the church building is broken into. You think that's a coincidence? It's funny how you start preaching about the Satan and all these people, they start struggling and they start, you know, having this issue and that issue. You think that there is an enemy. He doesn't want you serving him, God. So he's going to hinder you. Look, Satan doesn't care if you're at work or at home. As long as you're not serving God, that's all he cares about. He hindered Paul. Go to Matthew. Go back to Matthew. I'm sorry, not Matthew. Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 12. Luke 8. We're almost done. That's the second time you said that. I can say that one more time and be like Paul. Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 12. Luke 8, 12. You don't think Satan hinders? Luke chapter 8, look at verse 12. Remember the parable of the sower? I don't have time to go through the whole thing. You can study it out on your own. But Luke 8, 12. The Bible says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Let me tell you something. You start putting the word in people's hearts, Satan's going to come by and attempt to take it out. You start preaching the gospel to someone, Satan's going to make sure that somebody else comes by and takes that word. You think it's a coincidence? If I had a nickel for every time that we got somebody say, you know how many times I've heard this story? I mean, I've heard it hundreds of times. My family doesn't want to go to church with me. My family wants nothing to do with church. I try to get them to take me, or I try to get them to go with me. They don't want anything to do with it. We go by, get them saved, start bringing them to Verity Baptist Church. All of a sudden, you ought to come with me to my Jehovah's Witness church, Mom. You ought to come with me to my Pentecostal church, Dad. Why? What is that? That's the hinderer. That's Satan. He doesn't want you to hear the word. He doesn't want you to get the Bible. He wants to make sure you are somewhere where you're not going to hear the word. Got to wake up to it. Satan will hinder the work we do. He's also the devourer. Are you there in Luke? Go to Luke chapter 22. Look at verse 31. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Jesus said to Peter, Luke 22 verse 31. And the Lord said, notice what he says to Peter. We got to hurry this up. Luke 2:31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold," notice what Jesus says to Peter. "Behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Verse 32 is a powerful verse. Jesus says, "But I pray for thee." That's amazing. Can you imagine Jesus praying for you? Do you know that Jesus prayed for you right now? Amen. The Bible tells us that. Amen. "But I pray for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The Bible says that Satan, to Simon, says Satan had desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Keep your finger there in Luke. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. Very well known passage. I just want you to see it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You understand that Satan wants to destroy your life? Satan wants to devour you. He wants to sift you as wheat. We talk to people sometimes we're out soul winning, and people say, "Oh, you know, I don't want to go to church. I'd rather hang out with Satan. He's more fun." People say, I don't want to go to heaven. I'll go to hell. Me and my buddies, we're going to get drunk." You're an idiot. Satan, you know, that's fun. The world's fun. The world wants to destroy you. Satan wants to destroy you. You say, "Well, they act so friendly. They act like the party's so much fun." Yeah, he's transformed into an angel of light. It's called a trap. It's called a snare. It's called deceiving. It's called being wily. It's called being a trickster. But you better believe, Satan wants to do one thing with your life, and it's destroy you. Devour you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your finances. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to make sure your kids grow up screwed up. That's what he wants. He wants to destroy you. Not something to be joking about. Not something to be playing with. Not only does he want to destroy you, he wants to oppress you. Go to Luke. See, this is very negative. Actually, this is the most positive thing we could be doing right now. Warning you about the fact that Satan Amen. Wants to destroy you.
Amen.
Luke chapter number 13, look at verse 16. I wish more churches would be warning people about the effects of Satan on their lives.
Amen.
Luke chapter number 13, verse 16. Luke 13, verse 16. Luke 13, verse 16. And not this woman, I'm not trying to develop the context, you read it on your own. And not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees about whether or not he should heal this woman because it's the Sabbath day. And he said, look, this woman's been bound by Satan for 18 years and you want me to not heal her because it's the Sabbath day? That's how the world thinks. They're crazy. Go to Acts chapter number, let's see, where are we? Good night. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 38. It's pretty bad when you can't read your own handwriting, you know what I mean? Acts chapter number 10, look at verse 38. Acts 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38. Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were, notice, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You got to understand this. Satan wants nothing more than to keep you oppressed. But you know what I found? Some Christians like to be oppressed. They like the excuse, oh, I do that because I'm an addict. I do that because I've got issues. You don't understand, if you knew how I grew up, and I'm not minimizing how you grew up, I'm not making light of it, but you got to understand this. When you put yourself in a position where, well, I can't help it, that's just how I am, I just lie, that's what I do. I can't stop committing adultery, it's just what I do. I can't stop drinking, it's just what I do. I can't stop lying, it's just what I do. I can't, but you, let me tell you something. Satan wants to oppress you, he wants to keep you in bondage, but the Bible says Jesus Christ can make you free.
Amen.
If you understood that, and if you took that to heart and realized, you know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Amen.
He's the oppressor. He wants to keep you in bondage. He wants to destroy your life. We said number one, we saw the root of Satan. Number two, we saw the role of Satan. Just real quickly as we finish up, I want you to see the reckoning of Satan. What do you mean by reckoning? The word reckon, you're from the South, you might have... Let's go back to the Looney Tunes, remember? I reckon. The word reckon means to give an account. Often used in the Day of Judgment, you know, the Day of Reckoning. Satan has a Day of Reckoning. He's not going to get away with it. And you got to understand this. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. Go to 1 John real quickly. We're finishing up. We're almost done. We're going to look at 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, maybe not, no. 4 passages, we're going to look at 4 passages, we'll be done, okay? 1 John chapter 3, we got to hurry up, I'm already hot and uncomfortable, so we just got to get this done. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, you're like, I've been uncomfortable for 45 minutes, man. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 8, 1 John 3, 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That'll wake you up. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He, the Son of God, might destroy the works of the devil. You see, we like to blame the devil. The devil made me do it. The works of the devil, man, the devil's been attacking me. The Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That ought to help. Go to where do I want you to go? Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, 14. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh of the blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Bible says he came to destroy him. He came to destroy the devil. Jesus conquered over the devil. Keep your finger there in Hebrews, okay? Keep your finger there in Hebrews. Go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Remember I told you when we come to this, we're almost done? See, you thought I was lying. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. I know you think I'm just up here ranting and yelling. There's actually an organization to what we're doing. There's a method to the madness. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Revelation 20, verse 10. The reckoning of Satan. Look what it says. And the devil, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. It's talking about hell. Now, I understand that hell and the lake of fire are different places right now. If you want to talk about that, we can talk about it later. The Bible uses the terms interchangeably. But it says that he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, referring to the Antichrist. Now, I want you to see this, okay? People have this idea. Satan's down in hell and he's running the show. You know, like, Satan's an employee of God. And when a person goes to hell, it's Satan's job to make sure that he's, you know, poking at them with his little pitchfork and making sure that they're not comfortable. The Bible doesn't say that. Look at verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall, talking about the devil, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Let me tell you something. Satan will be in hell being tormented and punished just like everyone else will. That's the guy you want to follow? That's the party you want to go to? That's the person you want to be influenced by? You kept your finger in Hebrews, right? Right after the book of Hebrews is the book of James. James chapter 4. This is the last place we'll look at. We're done right here. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're done right here. If you got your finger in Hebrews, the next book is James. James chapter 4. I want you to see this. You say, Pastor, I'm scared. You got me all scared about the devil. Hey, fear, if you're, the spirit of fear does not come from God. There's one person we ought to fear, and it is the Lord.
Amen.
I'm all scared about Satan now. I'm all afraid about all those things he's going to do. God has already given you the victory.
Amen.
James chapter 4, look at verse 7. We're done right here. James 4, chapter 7. James 4, 7. Look what it says. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Look what it says. Submit yourselves therefore to God. And if you submit yourself to God, now you can't do it on your own. You got to be submitted to God. But if you submit yourself to God, look what it says. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. I'm afraid of, I'm under attack. The enemy's getting at me. Listen to me. You better just make sure you're under the will of God. You better make sure you're following God. Because the Bible says when you submit yourself to God and you just resist the devil, you say, Satan, I am not going there. I am not letting you do that. I am not letting you trick me. I'm not letting you, you kept me under oppression long enough. If you resist the devil, the Bible says he will flee from you. Now you got to understand this, okay? You don't go around blaming Satan for all your sin. You ever heard that? You know, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You did that. He can't force you to do anything. We talked about it when we talked about the devils. If you're saved, you cannot be demon-possessed. You cannot be possessed of a devil. Now, he can influence you. Remember Peter? Jesus looked at Peter and said, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. Was Peter demon-possessed? No, but he was under the influence of Satan. He can influence you, but he can't possess you. You have the victory through God. Here's what you got to understand, okay? You submit yourself to God, and you can resist the devil. I don't know. I don't have time to go there. Let me just throw this out there for those of you that were here on Wednesday night. Remember, we were in James 4 on Wednesday night. Do you remember that? And we're talking about the fact that, you know, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Do you remember that? Now, there's a connection between pride and Satan. Here's what's interesting. You submit to yourself to God, and you can resist the devil. You submit yourself to pride, and God will resist you. Just a thought. Something to think about. What was the downfall of Satan? His pride. What was the downfall of us? Our pride. You know why some of you are going to walk out of this church and say, I'm never going there. He can't tell me what to do. He can't tell me my drinking is bad. He can't tell me my drug. You know what your problem is? Pride. You cannot be corrected by the Word of God. Say, where's that going to lead me to? Same place that led Satan. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. Lord, I don't know what anyone else is doing, but I'm glad that at Verity Baptist Church, we're opening up the King James Bible and we're preaching the Word of God. Father, I pray you'd help each and every one of us that are here this morning to just realize that there is an attack, there is an enemy, there is a spiritual warfare. We have an adversary. His name is Satan. And he wants nothing more than to devour and destroy, to steal and to kill. Father, I pray you'd help us to just realize we got to be under your will. We got to be humbling ourselves and submitting ourselves to you. Father, I pray you'd bless these dear people. Help them to just trust in you, trust in your word. Father, help me as I attempt to lead the church, as I attempt to lead my family, lead myself. Help us to realize the devil is real. And he wants nothing more than to destroy what we're doing here, hinder what we're doing here. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.